This is what God is looking for. If you want to know the truths, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. If you want to know Jesus and who he is, it is necessary that you have the will. It is necessary that you have the desire to know them. So we have to look at our life. What do we want? See, that Jesus keeps on saying this to us. What do you want? I'm going to give you what you want. And that's why the human will is so dangerous. Because we want things that God might not want us to have. That's why we go to confession. Bless you, Father, for I've sinned. This is what I wanted. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do because of my want. So Jesus is saying, with that docility, with that surrender, with that submission to him, what he finds is he finds that this person now could be given the gift of gifts, this great gift of the divine will. So he said, imagine a room in which the shutters are closed. No matter how much sun there is on the outside, the room may remain always in the dark. Now, opening the shutters means wanting light, but this is not enough if one does not take the advantage of the light to reorder the room, to dust and to put himself to work so as not to kill the light which is given and become ungrateful. In the same way, Jesus says, it is not enough to have the will to know the truths if at the light of the truths which illuminate, one does not try to dust himself off of his own weaknesses, to reorder himself according to the light of the truth that he knows, to put himself to work together with the light of truth, making it his own substance, in such a way that the light of the truth which he has absorbed may shine through his mouth, shine through his hands, shine through his bearing. So here, Jesus is expecting us to read, to study, and then to put this into practice. If you read and you study how to swim, and you never get into the water, when Jesus says, I want you to swim across the lake, you're not going to be able to do it. It will be impossible. You have to put into practice the truths, the teachings of swimming. That's the same thing here. Jesus is asking us to be perfect, to be pure. What is purity? Purity is to live in the will of God, that God is our all, God is our everything. So what do? We make sure that we check our eyes, our mouth, our ears to vulgarity. Now, there's always third grade humor, but we have to make sure that we begin to live the perfect life. That's what Jesus is expecting. Television, radio, newspaper, magazines, and movies, theater tell us to be as vile as we possibly can. And they want to see, this is what the devil wants. He wants us to be as vile as we possibly can. Our job is to be pure. So when things come on television, we turn it off. Finally, we just get rid of the television. See, Our Lady of La Salette said that there will be a black tabernacle in everybody's house, a tabernacle that they will worship. And if you think about it, most people spend at least 4 hours a day watching and being taught how to live, but it has nothing to do with Jesus. And if it's possible that they have a good homily for 10 minutes out of the week, how can that compare to 4 hours a day for 7 days a week? See, the children don't have a chance. They, no matter how you raise your children, the world is, it's got everybody's attention. The world is showing us the new morality or the new model of living. Bruce Jenner say, the thing that he feared the most was that people would see a man dressed like a woman. Well, that's the truth. That's what he feared the most. He feared the most truth. See, our job is to enter into this truth and begin to live it. And that means the person you fight the most is yourself. If you don't fight for purity, you will never see God. See, that should be our desire. I want to see God. I want to see God. Scripture says you cannot see God and live. But in the kingdom, he will reveal himself to those who are pure of heart. See, the Lord has great things in store. And we have to make sure that to be Catholic is most important. To have this universal life is what God planned from the beginning. And he's looking at us. And he's saying, what do you want? I'm going to give you what you want. He's always saying that. He said that to the devil. What do you want? The devil says, hell. He said, it's yours. It's the same thing for us. The more that we try to be little, insignificant, and hidden, like Jesus in the tabernacle, the more that we try to go to our room and close the door and pray in private, the happier we're going to be. It's to be little. It's to be nothing. Look at Louisa, Jesus says, was the littlest of all. He searched the entire universe to find a soul who would be able to live in the divine will. Now, Our Lady is the mother of God. She's Theotokos. She's the mother of God. She's no one can compare to the Blessed Mother. No one can. But now you have a newborn, Jesus says, Louisa Picaretta, who is born of original sin, who he has given the gift of the divine will to, and now our God wants us to possess this gift. This is our gift. So, like I said last night, how are we proving to Jesus Christ that this is what we want more than anything? How are we proving this to Jesus? It's he looks at us and he waits to see whether or not we want what he wants. Our Lady said that. When the angel came to the Blessed Mother, the angel said, you will be the mother of God. And she says, how can this be? And the phrase that's left out is, I want to please God in all things, but I do not know man. So that this desire to want what God wants is what the Lord is looking for. And if we have this desire, he says, then I will give you the truths. And then I want you to put them into practice. And that's what he says. Okay, so now I got to figure out where I ended. Okay, thank you. However, ahead of that one. Okay, thank you. It would be as if he killed the truth. See, this is, if you don't put this into practice, why? See, Jesus spent Louisa spent 64 years in bed writing this without eating, drinking, or sleeping. She spent her entire life writing this, the Book of Heaven, as Jesus dictated this to her. And it is for our benefit. And if we're not reading it, if we're not studying it, and if we're not putting it into practice, it said, it would be as if he killed the truth. By not putting it into practice, it would be like remaining in total disorder before the light. Poor room full of light, but all messed up, upside down in total disorder, with a person in it who does not take care, the care of reordering it. How pitiful it would be, how pitiful would it not be? Such is the one who knows the truths and does not put them into practice. So again, our job, you know, is to be Catholic. Our job is to have this universal life and to not to criticize, but to pray and to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God throughout the day. To live heaven on earth. Jesus says those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, he says, are anticipating hell. Those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy, Jesus says, are anticipating heaven. Now, how can you be peaceful, joyful, and happy? By praising God and loving God and adoring God and glorifying God and worshiping God in all things, in everyone and everything, past, present, and future. To enter into that eternal now of God, to possess this gift. However, know that simplicity enters into all truths as the first nourishment. So when people tell me, well, the divine will is too complicated, I say, it's not at all. This is for children. To children to begin to learn how to live a peaceful, joyful, happy life. Children laugh, 90% of the time. Adults laugh 10% of the time. Jesus says, you cannot enter into the kingdom if you're not a child, if you're not childlike. Childlike is simplicity. As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, it is not complicated. Jesus says, if you don't understand it, it's because the light is so strong that it's blinding you. And so, if you've been inside all day long, and with the shutters closed and you go out into the bright sun, when you go out immediately, it's hard to see. But as your eyes become adjusted, as you put into practice the light, you begin to be able to see. It's the same thing here. This is simple. The divine will is not complicated. He says this. He says, if the truths were not simple, they would not be light, and they could not penetrate into the human minds to enlighten them. And where there is no light, objects cannot be distinguished. Simplicity is not only light, but simplicity is like the air that one breathes, which, though they cannot see it, it gives respiration to everyone. And if it wasn't for the air, the earth, and everyone would remain without motion. Therefore, if the virtues, the truths, do not carry the mark of simplicity, they will be without light, they will be without air. What's really astonishing is this. Many people have said to me, well, the theologian, I'm not a theologian, I don't understand this. Again, I've heard theologians talk about the divine will, and I am totally confused by what they say. I have no idea what they're saying. Because this is so simple. It is so beautiful. And Jesus will speak to your heart. Jesus promises us that. He says, I will be standing right beside you. I will touch your mind so that you will understand this, and I will touch your heart so that you will love it. See, you're with Jesus and Mary as you read. Jesus, this is his life. This is Our Lady's life. When we read the lives of the saints, we read of a virtue or two of Jesus or Mary. But when we read the divine will, we enter into this life, true life of Jesus, true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And why, Louisa? To bring about a new beginning for mankind. That's exactly what John Paul II said. Get ready for the third millennium. The glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. You know, I think Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, everything's complete, everything's done. And everybody said, great. And they said, nothing happened. And a lot of people left MMP after that. Well, when you really think about what happened, why 1997? Well, in 1996, the Book of Heaven was taken out of the Vatican, from the secret archives of the Vatican. Our Lady basically has said, there's nothing more I can say. You now have everything. And in 2005, when the cause of Louisa ended and the archdiocese said that she should be canonized, at that point, we had all the writings in English. And there were some people that said you couldn't read these. There were some people that said that it was forbidden to read this. You know, the Archbishop told us personally back in 2002, 2003, that we could read these as long as there was a priest with you. He said this to us. And this past April, he said again. And what he did was he made it clearer. He said, anybody can copy these writings, and anybody can read these writings, even though they are not the official translations. What's really amazing is as you enter into this gift, it is everything that you've ever wanted, everything that you've ever desired. This is the gift of gifts, Jesus says. It is the prodigy of prodigies. St. Francis would have given up everything to have this. But it wasn't for his time. Luisa is for our time. That's what Father Gucci tells us. Luisa is for our time. And he's asking us, all he's asking us to do is to read. So he says in volume 14, 3, 7, 22, I was thinking about what has been written. See, again, that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I said to myself, is it really Jesus that speaks to me, or is it a trick of the enemy of my fantasy? And Jesus, on coming, told me, my daughter Luisa, my words are full of truths and full of light. And if they carry with them the virtue of transforming the soul into truths itself, into life itself, and into the very good that they contain, in such a way that the soul does not only know the truths, but the soul feels within herself the substance of operating according to the truths that she has known. So wait, see, let's just change the word here. The divine will is full of Jesus, and they carry with them the virtue of transforming the soul into Jesus himself, into the very good that the words contain, in such a way that the soul does not only know Jesus, but she feels within herself the substance and the operating according to Jesus that she knows. See, our whole job, that's why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to adore him, to love him, to praise him. It's not a time for reading. When the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament is there, it's really not a time for reading. Now, St. Teresa says that if you can't think of anything, then read something. Read something spiritual to begin your process of adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, and worshiping God. But then stop reading and fall in love with Jesus. It's not a place for prayer. It's a place for falling in love with Jesus. It's to enter into the love of God. You know, when you read the lives of the saints, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, what do they say? Let me be burned in the burning holocaust of your love. Let me be annihilated in the flames of your heart. Let me be consumed in the burning furnace of your charity. God wants us to enter into this life, his life. And this is what Jesus is saying to us about the divine will. When you learn the truths, when you learn of this light that Jesus possesses, you begin to live it. See how you will become perfect. That's the only way to get to heaven. It's most people, Our Lady says, most people when they die go to purgatory. Many go to hell. Few go to heaven after they die. And why? You have to be purged of all that is not of God. And every thought, every word, every deed. You have to be purged of all of that. And so our Lord is asking us to be purged now. To get rid of the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, and the sin. You know, when I hear somebody negative, I just say, they haven't accepted the divine will yet. They what they want is hell. Our job is to want heaven, to live heaven. So Jesus says this. Further, my truths are full of divine beauty and of divine attraction in such a way that the soul, taken by their divine beauty, lets herself be enraptured by them. See, this is when we say fiat, and this is the thing that God is looking for. When we give our fiat to all that God presents to us, how happy he is. The fiat lux is what he said when he said, let there be light. The fiat mihi of Mary is, let it be done to me as you say. Jesus said that in the garden, not my will, but your will be done to the Father. And when we learn the fiat voluntas tua, when we begin to enter into this life, this is what God is looking for. You know, this image over here on my right, your left, is the image that is found at Monte Cassino, St. Benedict. St. Benedict said, to listen is to obey. It's the same thing with the church. What the church says is to obey. You know, don't fall into what the news media is doing, taking the Holy Father's words and twisting them. Our job is to be docile, to be simple, to be surrendered, to be submissive to the Lord. The devil is, I will not obey. I will not serve. Our job is to pray. To pray to the Lord of the harvest. That's our job. To pray the Our Father, the only prayer that Jesus taught us. It's to enter into this life. And again, how beautiful this life is. So Jesus says. Okay, Jesus says. In me, in Jesus, is divine order, divine harmony, divine beauty. He says, I, God, created the heavens. And they alone could not have been enough. No, I, God, wanted to adorn them with stars, almost studying them with beauty, so that the human eye might enjoy more from the works of its creator. I, God, created the earth. I, God, adored the earth with many plants and many flowers. I, God, created nothing that did not have its own ornament. And if this is the order of the created things, much more so is the order of my truths that reside within my divinity. While it seems that they reach the soul, they are like solar rays which hit and warm the earth without ever departing from the center of the sun. And the soul remains so enamored with my truths that the soul finds it almost impossible not to put into practice the truths that she has known, even at the cost of her life. Now, Jesus is specifically talking about Louisa here. See, now, when Louisa was 17, he said to her, where all the other saints ended their spiritual life with the mystical marriage. And you look at John of the Cross, you look at all of the saints who have the mystical marriage. They had the mystical marriage and then they died. There was no place else for them to go. There's no higher blessing than the mystical marriage. Until Louisa. That's why Father Bucci says, Louisa is la santa. She is the saint of the church. And again, I can't wait for the church to say this. Who is she? Louisa la santa. And it says very clearly that he, the Lord, has done everything. But Louisa is the one who has been given this gift to begin again where Adam fell. Jesus says the children, you know, when they fall, if a child falls into a well, the parents are horrified and they redeem the child, pull the child out of hell, out of the well. But they're not completely happy because the child is still broken and bleeding. Jesus says now it's going to be complete healing. This is why when you read this, when you study this, you are filled with such joy. Because Jesus is true to his promise. He says very clearly that he is going to bring about a complete change. So he says, the soul remains so enamored by my truths, she finds it almost impossible not to put into practice the truths that she has known, even at the cost of her life. So when Louisa, at 17, he gave her the mystical marriage. And he said to Louisa, where your life begins, all the other lives of the saints ended. So she received the mystical marriage at 17, and he said to her, go to bed and stay there. She could walk, but Jesus says, I want you to stay in bed forever. And she, for the next 64 years, the Archbishop says 70 years, she stayed in bed, not eating, drinking, or sleeping. And what did God do? During those years, he taught her about this gift. And she has accomplished everything. And now God wants to give this to us, and we have done nothing. We've done nothing. Yet God wants to bring about a complete transformation. So he says, on the other hand, when it is the enemy of the speculation of fantasy that wants to speak about truth, they bring neither light nor substance nor beauty nor attraction. So this gives us great hope. As you read this, there you are filled with hope. And again, Christian hope is certitude. We are certain that this is going to be given to us because this is what Jesus is promising. Even though he gave it to Louisa, he now wants to give it to us because he's so gratuitous. He's so generous. He's constantly giving. And he has called us to live at this time in order to receive this gift. And this is what he says. He says, I'm waiting for the souls who must live in the divine will to possess it. So he's waiting for us. That's why I said last night, you have to reconsecrate yourself to Jesus. Reconsecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother. We want their life reigning in us. The life that they gave to Louisa. We want to begin to live this abundant life. This is why today is Our Lady's Day. But, Jesus says, in reality, it's the day of the divine will. Because as Our Lady was assumed body and soul into heaven, we one day will be body and soul into heaven. Not just spirit, body and soul. It's our gift, Jesus says. And he is giving to us what he gave to his Blessed Mother. So he says, there are empty truths without life, and the soul does not feel the grace to sacrifice herself or to put them into practice. Therefore, the truths in the divine will that your Jesus is telling you, Louisa, are all full of divine life and of all that my truths contain. So why do you doubt? Now, he gave that to Louisa. Again, Louisa never questioned Jesus. He said that at the end of her life. She said, Jesus, I'm so sorry for all my questions. And Jesus said, you didn't question anything. It was the souls who will be reading the writings. It was their questions that I gave you so that you would ask me so that they would be answered. That you would put on paper what they need to know. So there's no more questions. So when somebody says to me, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? I say, read the volumes. It's all there. And if you read all 36 volumes, there's no chance that you'll say this is not of God. But if you read a line or two, of course you'll have difficulties. You're walking into the light for the first time, and it's blinding. It's so beautiful. But as you read this daily, when you promise, it's your promise to Jesus. Jesus, I will read every day. And then you'll be faithful to your vow. Be faithful to your promise. These are very, very important days. Jesus has called us to live at this time because these are the worst of days. You know, we saw what the Supreme Court has done. We saw what the new normal is. We saw in 73 how we can legally kill babies. I mean, this is, and half the country still wants this. See, our job is to renew the face of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle in us the fire of your love, the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. This is the divine will, is, Jesus says, he wants to bring about sanctification. Now, no one possesses it at this point, just so that you know. If anybody says they're living in the divine will, Father Bucci says they're fooling themselves. We want to live in the divine will. But to live in the divine will means you have to be perfect. That means you don't go to confession. Now, I know a lot of people don't go to confession, but I'm pretty sure they're not perfect. It's to be perfect. This is what God... So you have to look at your life. How are you living? What are you thinking? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you not doing that you should be doing? And as you grow into this life, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So he says, he asks us to stop doubting. Volume 14, 6, 122. I finding myself in my usual state, I was following the hours of the passion of my sweet Jesus. And again, that's one book you should always have out, the hours of the passion. Because Jesus will call you to look at him on the cross. You know, wants us to see what he has done for us. This is why it's so important to have a cross in your house, a cross in each room if possible, a crucifix in each room, Jesus nailed to it. Because that's the glory of God. The devil would rather have you have a dove nailed to it, or a flower nailed to it, or a word nailed to it, or a symbol nailed to it. But see, Jesus crucified is the glory of God. It's the victory of Jesus. And it becomes our divine mirror. When we look at the cross, what do we see crucified? Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. It's not ours anymore. It's been crucified with Christ. And the consequences of this crucifixion is peace, joy, and happiness. So Jesus is asking us to look at him. I mean, he really does that. He says, look at me. Look what I went through. And that's why Mel Gibson's movie is so important. You know, if you haven't watched it, watch it. It's very important that we see a glimpse of what Jesus went through. I mean, people say, you know, his movie was too violent. It didn't even come close to what Jesus went through. It didn't even come close. So he says, I was following the hours of the Passion, my sweet Jesus, especially when he was presented to Pilate, who asked him what his kingdom was. And my always lovable Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, that was the first time in my terrestrial life that I dealt with a Gentile authority who asked me what my kingdom was. And I answered him that my kingdom is not of this world, for were of this world, thousands of legions of angels would defend me. But with this, I opened my kingdom to the Gentiles and communicated my celestial doctrine to them. So much so that Pilate asked me, how is this? You are a king? And immediately, I, Jesus, answered him, I am king. I have come into the world to teach the truth. With this, I wanted to make my way into his mind in order to make myself known. So much that touched, so he was so touched that he asked me, what is truth? What is the truth? But he did not wait for my answer. I did not have the good of making myself understood. I would have said to him, I am the truth. Everything is truth in me. Truth is my patience in the midst of so many insults. Truth is my sweet gaze among so many derisions, slanders, and contempts. Truths are my gentle and attractive manner in the midst of so many enemies who hate me while I love them, who want to give me death while I want to embrace them. Give them, and it's life. See, God wants to give us abundant life. That's what the divine will is. Truths are my words full of dignity. Truths are of celestial wisdom. Everything is truth in me. The truth is more majestic than the sun, which, no matter how much they try to trample on it, rises more beautiful and bright to the point of shaming its very enemies and knocking them down at its feet. Pilate asked me with sincerity of heart, and I was ready to answer. Herod instead asked me with malice and curiosity, and I did not answer. Therefore, to those who want to know holy things with sincerity, I reveal myself more than they expect. So again, if you want to know, if you're serious, and you have this sincerity, Jesus says, I will reveal to you myself more than you can ever expect. So again, that's what God is looking for. That's, again, the reason for the act of contrition each night is to speak the truth. Remember Peter, when Peter fell at the feet of Jesus, he said, Lord, leave me, I am a sinful man. What did Jesus say? Now I can use you. Now that you know the truth, I am God, you are a sinner. See, that's why if people don't go to confession, they don't understand their sinful life. A lot of people come to confession and then they tell me the sins of their spouse. Do you know what he did? Do you know what she did? It has nothing to do with confession. What did you do? What did you think? What did you say? That's what God is looking for. Confession is very important. At night, going over your examination of conscience is very important. If you are sincere and knowing your sinfulness, Jesus says, I will reveal myself more than you can expect. With those who want to know them, with malice and curiosity, I hide myself. And while they want to make fun of me, I confuse them and make fun of them. However, since my person carried the truth with itself, it performed its office also in front of Herod. My silence at the stormy questions of Herod, my humble gaze and air of my person are all full of sweetnesses and of dignity, of nobility. All were truths. All were operating truths. So that's why Father Bucci said you must be little, insignificant, and hidden. If you really, when you kneel in front of Jesus to adore him, to love him, to praise him, to thank him, to glorify him, knees are only, the only reason for knees is to pray. It's why do we have knees? So that we can kneel and pray. And again, it's very important. That humility is what God is looking for. Volume 14, 8, 26, 22. Out of obedience, I was reviewing my writings that I had marked so that it might be copied. Okay. What happened in her first few volumes, St. Honorable de Francia. This is St. Honorable de Francia. It's the only picture. I was going to grab another one, but that's him. He was also the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. So he learned how a saint basically communicates with heaven. What St. Honorable, he had questions. St. Honorable would question Louisa. In volume 7, he would say, what you said here, does this relate to what you said back in volume 2? So he really studied these. He really knew these. And her response would be, yes or no, I meant this. And so I heard recently that some people said that Father Nibale crossed words out and corrected what she said. And, well, they didn't see the writings. I saw the writings. And it was very clear. He was asking humbly, does this help me understand basically what you said in volume 10 when you said dot, 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 dot? And then she would explain, yes. This is what Jesus wants. Or no, he meant this. So it wasn't he correcting Louisa. He was trying to make clear, like she says here, so that they can be copied correctly. She said, I thought to myself, what is the purpose of many sacrifices? What good will come of them? And while I was thinking and doing this, my blessed Jesus took my hand in his and squeezing it tightly told me, my daughter Louisa, just as the flower when touched gives off its fragrance with greater intensity, so much so, I love this, that if it is not touched, it seems that it does not contain so much fragrance and the air does not receive the balm of that scent. In the same way for my truths, the more one thinks about them, the more that one reads them, the more that one writes them, the more that one talks about them and diffuses them, the more fragrance they give off in such a way as to perfume everything and reach even into heaven. And I, God, smell the fragrances of my truth. I feel like manifesting more truths. And in seeing that the truths that I manifested spread and the light of the fragrance that they contained. On the other hand, if my truths are not touched, the fragrance and the light remain as though compressed and do not spread. The good and the utility that my truths contain remain without effect. I feel defrauded. I, God, feel defrauded of the purpose for which I, God, manifested my truths to you, Louisa. Therefore, if only to let them smell the fragrance of my words and to make me content, you should be happy to make the sacrifice. So here, Jesus is showing that why Louisa is in bed again. He said to her when she was 17, go to bed and stay there. And she, in obedience, she did. And even the pillows, you'll see, if you ever get to Corrado, the pillows that were behind her, to make a greater sacrifice, she never leaned against those pillows. She sat straight up for 64 years. to the point that her spine fused. And when she died and they put her in the coffin, they couldn't break her spine. It was so solid. So what they did was they built a coffin that looked like a car. And as a matter of fact, that was the first Fiat. It was. It's true. But when you look at the pictures of her going through Corrado, there are really like wheels on it too. I mean, but and that's what I heard about the man who started the Fiat company. He knew that we must give our Fiat to God, and he wanted to make the car the Fiat because I think what he heard about Louisa. This is what I was told. So it's really amazing that she sacrificed her life, never even leaning against the pillows, to just give another sacrifice so that she could do what God wants. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll end there and be back by a little before 10. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.